Isn't that wonderful poetry? I mean, even if you haven't had a recent refresher course to brush up your Greek, the roll and the cadence, just the sound of it, you know you're listening to very powerful poetry. And then when it's unfolded in translation, the meaning really blossoms. The beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God. The Word was with God in the beginning. You could spend the rest of your life just meditating on that. Add a reference to the Holy Spirit, and you have the whole internal life of the Trinity. An incomprehensible mystery. The family life of God. The sharing of love. The sharing of being. Within the Godhead itself. And the Word was in the beginning with God. And then he goes on to add layers to the cake. The light. The shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not overwhelm, could not envelop. The light which enlightens every person that comes into the world. And the light is the light of truth that gives light to all of us. And then the blockbuster. And the Word became flesh and dwelt in our midst. Now we've cleaned that up in most of the rest of Christian history. By the time we got around to writing the Creed in the 4th century, they said, an anthropesanta. And he became a human being. And that's followed by the Latin, followed by the English, except in some tightened Roman translations which read man. Human being. That expresses something of our dignity. The human being is the pinnacle of God's creation, the high point of billions of years of evolution. For him to become a human being, that's coming down a notch from being God, but it's at least a reasonable place to land. That's not what John says. John says, Kai ho logos sarx egenita. And the Word became flesh. You know, flesh, the messy stuff, this stuff, flesh. The Word became flesh. Flesh, which takes too long to grow up and gets old too soon. Flesh that's too easily stirred to emotions we have trouble controlling. Flesh that gets sick, that isn't strong enough, that gets increasingly frail, that is frequently a burden to us, that we have to learn how to work with and manage the messiness of. Flesh. The Word became flesh. This is the fullness of the incarnation. God just didn't take on the human mind, which has a certain nobility, you know. Well, even human emotions or a human will, but all the way down to the fleshiness of our existence. And the Word became flesh. You could spend a second lifetime just meditating on that phrase. But in this feast of the Holy Family, I suggest that we carry the meditation a little bit farther and focus it on family. Because family is, I think, one of the ultimate expressions of fleshiness. It is our support. It is our joy. It is all that is good about us is summed up in family. But also all that is sarx about us, right? I mean, just being married, you know that husband and wife, just two people, it's a full-time job just living with each other, learning each other, doing for each other, hurting each other, forgiving each other, just trying to make it work. That's a full-time job. Now look at family. It's parents and grandparents and siblings and spouses and partners and children and grandchildren and aunts and uncles and cousins and nieces and nephews and in-laws and outlaws without rhyme, reason, or number, each with their own fleshiness, each with their own sarkikos that we live with. We are called to relish that, to recognize it in its fleshiness, and to love it that way, to accept our own limitations, to accept the limitations of those around us. Yeah, sure, of course they fall short. Of course they hurt us. Of course they're inadequate. Who did you think they were anyway? You know, they say that's the difference between children and adolescents and grown-ups. Children know their parents are perfect, and they think that's wonderful. Adolescents have begun to suspect that their parents are not perfect, and they think that's terrible. Grown-ups know damn well that their parents are not perfect, and they think that's okay. That's the incarnation. That's the acceptance of sarkikos, fleshiness. It's all right. God loves that weakness, that constant striving, that almost there and never quite characteristic of our fleshiness, enough to become one of us, to take on who we are. So maybe the application of this gospel to the feast of the Holy Family is be a little more patient, a little more compassionate, a little more accepting, first of yourself, and then of the other members of your family. And realize that all of us, none of us are perfect, but all of us are doing the best we can. And for God, that's good enough to sit back and smile. And it should be for us as well. If we are to enter into God's family, we find that it is, after all, a family of absolute acceptance. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.